The holiday rush is coming, and if you sell stuff online, you better get ready with ShipStation. With more people buying online than ever before, you have to be able to ship orders out quickly, efficiently, and affordably. But how do you keep track of all those orders? Or decide which shipping carrier to use? Or if you're getting the best rates? Luckily, ShipStation can help. With just a few clicks, you'll be managing orders, printing labels, and getting those products out the door. And delivered in time for the holidays. Now, as you all know from listening to Busted Open, I have my Dave LaGreca guy and Dave LaGreca girl shirts. The perfect holiday gift, you know, to make it affordable for myself because I suffer from lack of funds. I'm using ShipStation. No matter where you're selling, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. No wonder ShipStation is number one with online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. Take the hassle out of the holiday shipping this year. Let ShipStation help you handle it all with ease. Just use my offer code BUSTED to get 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no-hassle, stress-free holiday shipping. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in BUSTED. That's ShipStation.com. Enter offer code BUSTED. ShipStation. Make ship happen.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, Tommy Dreamer and I talk about the historic news of Crown Jewel.
Governments can't get into Saudi Arabia, but yet the WWE is breaking barriers and creating history. Find out how and why.
Also, usually on Busted Open, you get a LaGreca rant, but on today's episode, you actually get a Tommy Dreamer rant.
Don't piss me off. I got a lot to say, and I can't stands no more.
We're going to do it on today's episode, and how about this? The legendary Bugsy McGraw joins the show.
And the new Impact Heavyweight Champion, Sami Callihan. Action-packed show.
All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Tommy, Michael Cole is 100% correct. History going to be made tomorrow in Saudi as we're going to get Lacey Evans versus Natalya. First ever women's wrestling match at the Crown Jewel in Saudi. This is a huge deal. And honestly, Tommy, this goes back to some of the things that Triple H spoke about when they first were going to Saudi, how things are going to have to take time. You have to be patient. And who knows, maybe one day we will see the first ever women's match in Saudi. And that's exactly what's going to happen tomorrow night on the WWE Network at Crown Jewel. Lacey Evans versus Natalya.
When was this match made?
It was just announced this morning.
Oh, wow. Wow, I wonder why it took so long to announce that.
Well, probably because they wanted to do this before and they got too much pushback and weren't able to do it. And now they were finally able to make this happen.
Well, for everyone who has hated the fact that WWE has gone to Saudi Arabia, and I think WWE has done an excellent job when going to Saudi Arabia, and for the fact that they have talked about, when we have talked about, governments can't get into Saudi Arabia, but WWE, and they're showing, I guess, progress, and it will be a historic match. I do enjoy that they said also in WWE history that a women's match has happened because women have wrestled there. They wrestled there in Impact. Bully's Own, Velvet Sky, Angelina Love, they were all part of a show there. But man, that's great. It's called progress. Hopefully, you know, wrestling is breaking down barriers. There's people who have done it, and cool. Kudos. And I like the fact that they did it with Natty.
Yeah, I'm kind of happy about that as well, because Natalya deserves to be in this position at Crown Jewel. And listen, I'm not going to get political here, but this is how you make change.
Yes.
This is how you got to chip away at that wall to make change. And I think the WWE is trying to do that. Now, listen, I know there's other factors in as well. I can't just say, well, this is, they're doing it for just for change's sake. I mean, they're making a lot of money by doing this show in Saudi. I'm not sleeping on that. But again, we are getting this match, and that's a great thing.
For the amount of people that brought hate upon WWE for going there, it's now what, a year and a half, 2 years? No, year and a half.
Yeah, not even 2 years.
That they've been able to make this happen. So that's kudos, and kudos to, you know, the powers that be, if the government's involved, that they're evolving.
And listen, like, you know, the WWE, you know this, Tommy, here on Busted Open with a lot of the people who call into the show, with the Twitter as well. WWE is easy to beat a whipping boy. You know, we kind of like, you know, fall on some of the things that we don't like about the WWE, and some of it right, some of it's wrong. But you have to give them kudos at times like these as well.
I give WWE a lot of passes when I see, like, Connor's Cure, when Susan Komen, a lot of stuff like that. And I think when there's a lot of negative, the reason why there's negative is because we love it so much.
Yes.
And when you love it so much, you want everything to be great. And when it's not great, it causes a bit of problems. It's like, it's literally a marriage. A lot of wrestling fans are married to wrestling. And at first, it's like, we love it. And then you realize there's cracks in the system. You know, like, they're not doing the best to make this relationship work out. It's kind of why me and Gabby broke up.
Yeah. I mean, and I get that. But, you know, let's see what happens at Crown Jewel. I mean, they've been pushing this show a lot. They've been talking about this show a lot. All the storylines are building to what we're going to see. Again, Halloween in the middle of the afternoon, but it will live on the network. So we'll see exactly how many people tune in, and maybe if it does rise subscriptions for the WWE Network.
And then talk about a schedule. Those poor people on SmackDown are going to turn around and fly right back and hopefully try to make it to SmackDown Live.
And this is something that we can talk about with you. I mean, Bully mentioned this as well the other day about, you know, once that show is over, they're hopping on a plane, they're flying out to be on SmackDown. Ridiculous, the travel schedule that these superstars have to go through.
Correct. If I once told you, we did a show on the West Coast, it was like, I don't remember where. I got delayed. I started off at LaGuardia. I drove to JFK to make another flight. I flew from JFK to LA, LA to San Francisco, San Francisco to like some smaller airport. I don't really remember where it was in California. I got to the show. I was dressing in a cab. I got there. It was 6 o'clock. I wrestled Raven on Heat. They lost my luggage, and I was going overseas for a week, and then bought an actual suitcase, filled it up with luggage, and then after that show, took the charter back to San Francisco. We landed at 2. By the time you check into the hotel, we had a 7 a.m. be on the bus because we had to go to the airport. We went San Francisco, Tokyo, landed in Tokyo, did a day in Tokyo off. The next day, wrestled in Tokyo. After that, we flew to Singapore. We flew somewhere else. Then we did a show in Perth, Australia. And every night after our show, we took a charter somewhere else. We flew. Then that one day, we flew from Perth to Sydney, Sydney to LA, LA to Phoenix. At 2 a.m. Then we did SmackDown Live. And then I flew on a red eye home. That was all in a week. And at one point, I was holding my children, and I started to fall asleep while I was holding my child. And Beulah thought I was, like, doing drugs. And she's like, are you gimmicked up? And I was like, no, I'm falling asleep. And she's like, you can't hold the girls. But I was literally falling asleep, standing up. And that was just one weekend.
Jeez Louise, Tommy.
Yeah. But they compensate you well. So, and you... I remember my match like it was yesterday. I had one of my favorite matches with John Morrison there. And every time like they talk about Singapore and Thailand, I always remember I tore it up with John Morrison. And fans still tell me about it. I was at that match. It was a great match. So you're on autopilot of your life. But once Tommy Dreamer music hits, he becomes special.
I get that. And that's probably what's going to happen here. A lot of people on social media wondering why it's Natalia and Lacey Evans. You just mentioned that you're glad, I am too, that Natalia is a part of this. You know, if you're going to have a historic event, somebody that's been there and done that and has been the foundation of, you know, your women's division, and not just that, just been with the company for so long, she deserves that position. But what do you think about Lacey Evans? Obviously, they're high on Lacey Evans. That's somebody that they really want to give a push for. What do you think about the matchup at Crown Jewel?
The ladies had a great match on Monday Night Raw. What did they have there? Last man standing?
Last woman standing, yep.
And why not? And then it could open the door for Charlotte. It could open the door for Becky. It opens the door for everybody. And maybe the ladies were previously scheduled to do something else. If they just announced this match, you don't know how long they've had that this match could actually go down. So these women could be on standby.
Do you think, and you mentioned before that obviously the WWE's gotten a lot of flack about doing this show in Saudi, a lot of political ramifications. Do you think that this matchup will help that? Do you think people now will kind of understand a little bit what the WWE was doing, or are people still going to see it as a money grab?
It will always forever be known as a money grab because people don't want to ever talk about the good things that happen in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They only just want to harp on the negative and not the good. And they should always, I follow this one account, what is it, Dodo, something like that, Doo-Doo, where they like have like a nice like dog walks up to you. What is it?
Dodo.
All right, Dodo, Doo-Doo. And like they have nice stories. I like nice stories because it's, you know, people want to always focus on the negative, and why should you? It's historical for a reason because mm-hmm. it's happening and change is happening in wrestling. Just like when everyone was excited about AEW and NXT coming in on Wednesdays and AEW being a new company, it was the excitement of a new company. And then all of a sudden, oh, wow, look what WWE did. They're putting up NXT against them. Screw you. And there's actually a divide now against wrestling fans between NXT and AEW where there shouldn't be, you know?
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Impact Wrestling, their debut episode on Access TV, Tommy. And after four pile drivers, your new Impact World Heavyweight Champion, Sami Callihan, joins us right now on Busted Open. Sami, congratulations.
You've already messed it up, Dave LaGreca. Did you even watch the match? It was five pile drivers. Even though I figured it would take less than that to beat Brian Cage, I don't like people getting facts messed up.
You sure it was five? I counted four.
I watched the match 14 times last night.
He should know then.
Well, how about this? Four pile drivers and then the pile driver off the top turnbuckle to win the championship. I'm sorry.
Is that Fat Dreamer I hear on the line also?
That is. How are you? Good morning.
Let me be disrespectful. Mr. Fat Dreamer, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you for insulting me this early morning. That's normally Bully's job. But congratulations on being the champion. And I'm sure you got a lot of people gunning after you.
Yeah, well, a lot of people pissed off. I pissed a lot of people off last night when I became the face of Impact Wrestling.
And before we get into your contenders or maybe your next contender, the way that show ended last night, let's start from the beginning. I said it 2 weeks ago on the air. We talked about must-see wrestlers. I said my must-see wrestler is Sami Callihan. You're my favorite right now. You're must-watch. And now this debut episode on Access TV. And I will say this, Sami, and you've been very, very vocal on social media in a good way because you have really been talking about this debut episode for quite some time. And it does feel like a new era, not only for you as champion, but just a new era for Impact Wrestling.
100%. I'm a guy that made myself a star, and now people are watching. Anything that I talk about at this point is must-see television, is must-see online. It's must-see any aspect I do in my life.
That's why he's known as the draw. Now he's the world champion draw. And he was trending. He did. I've been behind the scenes working with Impact for quite some time. It has never trended worldwide, and now it trended worldwide, and this idiot's going to take full credit for it. Correct.
You know what? Like, I think we got off to a bad start. Let me say you're welcome for making the show trend last night.
yep, I wasn't on it, so he's fully, fully. It It's all him.
Well, I'll say this, too, about that main event match in the cage last night. As much as I loved the match that Brian and Sammy had on Bound for Glory, this match I thought was better. It was great. Obviously, the outcome was better for Sammy Callahan because he's your new champion, but I think there's a lot of chemistry there. But again, now you have to look into the future. And after what we saw last night, Sammy, with Tessa Blanchard coming to that ring, it's going to be very interesting what's going to happen next with that heavyweight championship.
100%. I think at this point, what's the next step is telling the rest of the wrestling world to kiss our ass. We have pretty much been the redheaded stepchild of professional wrestling for the last 2 years. Impact Wrestling almost went out of business, and the new regime, the new roster, has stepped up and launched this company back into the echelon once again.
And Sammy, you know, I've known him for a long, long time. He's one of those wrestlers that, you know, he, like I said earlier, he bet on himself. He walked away from NXT to the world of the unknown, and it has paid off for him. And he is one of those guys. His ego, yes, he's got a big one, and it should, because when you talk the talk, you have to walk the walk, and Sammy walks the walk. I've wrestled him. I've yet to see him have a bad match, and he does whatever it takes to win. He's beaten me several times, as well as he's the man right now.
And for me, Sammy, after what we saw last night, and I'm being completely honest here, because you've been a friend of the show. Maybe I shouldn't say friend, but a frequent guest here on Busted Open.
He doesn't like you, Dave.
No, I know he doesn't. I know he doesn't. But I have to be honest with you, Tommy, and this is all seriousness. Violetta was watching Impact Wrestling with me last night, and I saw the way she was eating her pierogies while watching Sammy Callahan in the main event slowly and focused. Makes me wonder about how my wife feels about Sammy Callahan, especially after meeting him.
I have an effect on people.
You do, and after meeting you on the Jericho Cruise, I can understand. Here's the thing. I don't want to talk about anymore about Sammy Callahan with NXT. Like, I don't want to talk anymore about Impact Wrestling and the dark cloud that we've always seen over this company for years. Like, it's time to put those things to bed now.
Correct.
Now that we're seeing Impact Wrestling on Access TV, now that Sammy Callahan's a world heavyweight champion, I think it's time, like, again, people bring up TNA. This is not TNA. This is Impact Wrestling. So I think, Sammy, this is definitely the ending, not of a chapter, but the ending of a book, and this is a new book for not only you, but for the company as well.
Yeah, and you're welcome. I single-handedly fixed this company. See, I didn't used to be like this. When Dreamer met me, I used to be a modest kid that walked on eggshells. I had a great upbringing. My family was awesome. I was so wide-eyed at one point in my career. But it's society and everything that happens online. It's everything that's ever happened in this wrestling business that made me the way I am today.
And with the victors comes the spoils. Now that you're champion, I mean, you can honestly say you're the face of Impact Wrestling.
100%. I'm not the type of guy that people want to be the face of their company. They want guys like Brian Cage. But Brian Cage broke down more than a McDonald's ice cream machine. So I figure it's my time to take the flag and ride off up the hill and take this company to greatness once again.
That is a fabulous line, that he broke down more than the McDonald's shake machine.
It's always, do you notice every time you go into a McDonald's that shake machine is busted? All the freaking time.
I think it's because there's so
much. They have great ice cream. On a serious note, they do have great ice cream. I'm not going
to
lie.
It used to be just a dollar. Remember when the McDonald's ice cream was just a dollar? Yep. It was the best quality for your dollar. But what about Tessa Blanchard? Tessa Blanchard face to face with you at the end of that show last.
Tessa Blanchard's dumbass. I'm sick of that spoiled little brat trying to take any little shine she can get off me. There's a reason that she came out, because you know that I will launch her career even to a bigger statement. I said this once, I'll say it again, and I don't really care how many people I piss off. I'm pretty much the undertaker of this business now, and I'll make people famous when they get in the ring with me.
Tessa has never beaten you, correct?
Tessa will never beat me in an Impact Wrestling ring.
I don't think I've ever beaten him either. I'm disliking him even more and more. I'm talking to him. At times I like have respect for him. Other times I hate this guy.
It's hard not to respect Sammy Callahan. And I got to be honest, too. I think a lot of people were rooting for Sammy Callahan in that match last night. I mean, how does that make
you
feel?
Because I connect with people. I'm one of those characters that come around once in a lifetime. I don't have to do a bunch of flips. I don't have to go out there and show my ass. I go out there and I do what I believe is pro wrestling, and that's smash mouth, beat some ass pro wrestling, and I connect with the masses.
He's correct. I don't know about the face of the company, one thing. I don't know about connecting with people. Is that
I think he is connecting with people, with the underdog, the people that that feel disrespected.
But he's like, to me, becoming, he's a modern day Joker. If you saw the new Joker movie, that's Sammy Callahan. He's a deranged individual. But in his head, he's right.
Have you seen it yet? I swear to God, if you ruin this movie for me right now, Dreamer, I'll jump in a car and I'll drive to New York.
It's only been out for 3 freaking months, Sammy, at some point.
Well, I'm sorry that I'm a busy guy and I've been doing things for Impact Wrestling and I haven't been able to see the Joker movie yet, but I still really want to see it. And if you ruin this movie for me right now, we're going to be fighting.
Well, because he's a heel and I'm a babyface, I wouldn't ruin it. But I mean, the entire audience was so sad when the Joker died at the end of the movie. just so you
know. Son of a bitch.
You know what's interesting, though, Sammy, is that you actually, last night on Impact, you had more victories than the Bengals.
Wow. See, you want to talk the talk. You got two heels here.
You put me in as quarterback for the Bengals. We win 4 games this year. At least.
I mean, everybody wanted Marvin Lewis gone, and now you got a team that's 0-8.
No, we need to get rid of Dalton, too. I've been saying that. It wasn't just Marvin Lewis. It's that ginger Andy Dalton that we need to get rid of. He's the worst quarterback in the league. He's had one good season, and they continue to sign him over and over and over again.
How come if you're for Ohio for everything, you don't like Cleveland Browns?
Because Cleveland Browns suck.
But they're part of Ohio.
Cleveland Browns have always sucked. Everyone wanted to say Baker Mayfield was so good. Dude had a losing record last year in his rookie season. People think he's the second coming of Joe Montana. And they're going to have a losing season this year, too.
Yeah, and Sammy, not that I need to defend you here, but Tommy, if you're a Bengals fan, you can't be a Browns fan.
Well, if he's Ohio versus everyone, then he supports Ohio. Reds or Indians?
Yeah, Cleveland's not a part of Ohio. Cleveland sucks just to be its own province. We might as well just give it to Canada at this point.
Well, okay. I didn't get that memo that it
moved. No, but they're in the same...
I know,
Tommy,
the entire history of the Browns
same division.
And the Bengals.
You can't root for two teams no matter where they're from if they're in the same division. They're both in the AFC North. How could you be a Bengals fan and a Browns fan?
I'm not.
But
I'm
you imply that he should be.
No.
Just because you're a fraud.
Dreamer's favorite team is any town that he's in at that point. I'm pretty sure he has jerseys and hats for every team in the league at this point.
You be quiet. Don't expose me.
Fraud.
You're a fraud. If your moniker is Ohio versus everything, then he has to like everything.
No, he doesn't. Because
no, I don't.
Go ahead.
No one in Ohio likes Cleveland. Cleveland sucks.
What about Reds or Indians?
I don't care what Drew. I don't care what Drew Carey said.
Reds.
Sucks.
Reds or Indians?
Reds, 100%.
Okay. I disagree. If my moniker is New York versus everyone, then I got to like everything New York. If it's Yonkers versus everyone, I could choose. If it's Buffalo versus everyone, I just got to like the Bills. That's simple. So maybe you got to do like Dayton versus everybody.
No, I like more than just Dayton. I like the majority of Ohio, but Cleveland sucks. Every part of Cleveland sucks.
So, Sammy, what's next for you? What do you want to accomplish moving forward as the Impact champion?
See, I'm not a complacent person. This is just the beginning of things for me. Now I want people to actually look at Impact Wrestling as one of the top wrestling companies on the planet today because they have the draw leading the charge.
See, I like this, Tommy, because he's not complacent, like he said. He's the champion. But more about being the champion, he wants to be the face of this franchise. He wants to be the face of the show. By being the face of the show, he wants the show to succeed. He's not only looking for his own success, but the success of the company. That's what a true champion does. So I think this is so good right now that Impact Wrestling can say that Sami Callihan is their world heavyweight champion after five pile drivers.
The belt that makes the man. I didn't need that championship to validate my career. Honestly, I don't need anyone's opinion to validate my career. At this point, I'm the man that's going to make the championship because the shit shape of the championship was in after the failed Brian Cage run where he defended the championship three times. I'm going to take this belt anywhere I go around the world. Hell, I go to ICW Scotland this Saturday. And I'm bringing the Impact Championship with me there just to start things out.
And you're welcome for that booking.
Oh, I'm welcome? Oh, okay. Okay, Dreamer.
No, I forgot.
You got to take credit for everything, don't you?
For that one, I do, because they asked me if I could do it, but I was already booked, and I said, try Sami Callihan. So, yes, that one is right. I forgot to tell you that one. Not that we talk backstage because you don't like me and I don't like you, but...
What's wrong with you, Tommy?
I just remember things, and then I just say
that,
it. Should I not say things on the air?
I'm just saying that, you know, he's good enough to give us time after winning the Impact World Heavyweight Championship.
He hasn't gone to bed yet. He's been drinking Carvassier all night long. Carvassier and beer, ring rats all night long. That's what he does down in Ohio.
How is the groupie scene at
We're bringing it back, brother.
Well, I definitely wasn't drinking bubbly because I'm pretty sure bubbly's for bitches at this point.
Whoa.
I'm not going to touch that.
I like his new t-shirt. He's got a new t-shirt. He's going to make you pay full price for that one.
Sammy?
He's got a world championship t-shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees.
Who?
You know what? I'll send you a Bubbly's for Bitches shirt for free, Dave LeGrec, because I know how much you'll want to wear it around town.
Bubbly's for Bitches. That's a good one. You should trademark that one.
I'm a big Jericho guy, so I'm not going to say anything about that. A little bit of the bubbly is fine with me.
He rips up Seth Rollins, but he won't say anything about Jericho.
Sami Callihan guy, now you're mixing it up and messing up. Now you're a Jericho guy. You're a bitch too, LeGrec.
Listen, I'm a big fan of yours, Sammy. I can't be a fan of somebody else. I said that you're the must-watch wrestler of anybody in pro wrestling, but I can't like anybody else. I'm a fan of a lot of different wrestlers and companies.
Yeah, you're probably a fan of MJF as well, which completely negates any opinion you ever have.
By the way, you're so right. Pro Wrestling Tees has the shirt up right now. Came up this morning for only $19.99. World champion, the draw, Sami Callihan, 2019. I love it. I'm buying it right now.
Bubbly is for Bitches is a hell of a t-shirt.
That is a great t-shirt.
That's the next one. Sammy put it out there, else I will.
Already planned on it. Look, Dreamer, you're already fat and old, Dreamer. Don't be Steel Dreamer as well. Steal my idea.
Phenomenal.
No, but seriously, Sammy, I mean, you've waited for this moment. You've waited for the move to Access. You've wanted this championship. I mean, how does it feel this morning to know that you are the champion? How does that feel for you?
It feels 100% amazing. It's one of the best things that's ever happened to me in my entire career. It's somewhere that I saw myself since day one that no one else ever saw in me. And I pretty much told all those people to kiss my ass. Every single hater out there, every single wrestler that thought they were better, at the end of the day, they knew. They knew I was the hardest working individual in this business. So it was just a matter of time till something like this had the trigger pulled on it. And now I'm on top of the wrestling world, and everyone's going to look down on me. I'm the one that's going to take the Impact Championship, and I don't care what company you wrestle for. The Impact Wrestling Championship right now is big effing belt professional wrestling, and there's no one here that's going to tell me differently.
I love it. Your new Impact World Heavyweight Champion, and who knows, maybe it's Tessa Blanchard in the ring with him next. This is going to
be. If you say Tessa Blanchard one more damn time, say Tessa Blanchard again and see what happens.
How about Tully Blanchard?
I like Tully. I like Tully a whole lot more than I like Tessa.
All right.
So I can't. Can I say just the first name? Can I say just like? Can I just say Tessa and not say the last name?
No. Do not say any part of her name.
Refer to her as she.
But what
she
about?
I've already made her the biggest star that she'll ever be in her career by being in the ring. I don't feel like I need to give her any more buzz by bitching her name on Bustin' Open Radio.
But what about, like, later on in the show when I'm talking about WOW Women of Wrestling? Can I still not say her name? She is the champion.
You're a smartass, aren't you, Dave?
Just refer to her as the champion of WOW.
What are the chances Sammy Callahan's listening to the show after the interview is over? I could say the name. He won't know.
Just, are you cowering down like you did to Seth Rollins when Seth
How
Rollins
is that cowering down? I said I'm
I don't think you would have. You know Sammy will bitch slap you at any moment.
I know that.
Seth Rollins, we don't know if you do. But if Seth does it, you know, you could at least sue him. You're one of those people.
I would never sue.
You talk crap about poor Seth every single
you
day.
You would sue.
I would not, Sammy. I would not. You know what? You don't know me. You don't know me. I would never sue.
The highest rated episode ever of Busted Open Radio was me and you on the Jericho Cruise. And now you're treating me like I'm just some no-name answer.
What are you talking about? You're the world heavyweight champion. I said you're must-watch. You're the one must-watch guy. We put you on the morning after you win the championship. How am I disrespecting you?
It doesn't feel legit. It feels a little bit fake to me, Dave.
He isn't. He loves you,
Sammy. No, I'm a Sammy Callahan fan. If it was up to me, I'd be fucking hosting with you every day.
Wait a minute. Now I got to do a job again? I do enough jobs. All right.
This coffee I'm drinking right now is really good.
After you mentioned the whole podcast thing, I said, we got to become a podcast. Now we're a podcast too, which you can get at Apple Podcasts and Pandora.
See, I'm ahead of the curve. I know when these things are coming. You're a podcast all along.
God, I love Sammy Callahan, Tommy.
Yep. Well, I look forward to next week. What do you got in store for us next week?
I'm bringing cake next week.
Ooh, I like
I'm bringing
cake,
and I'm putting the rest of the world on notice. Next week, I'm going to have the most epic celebration in wrestling history.
An OVE party next week.
I love cake.
Maybe we'll invite you.
Yeah, I bet Dreamer loves cake, too, but he's not getting any. Maybe he can have some carrot cake because it'd serve him right to eat some vegetables.
What a jerk.
That's a terrible thing to say. He tweeted something like, the only thing green you eat is gum.
Sammy said that?
Yeah, Sammy said that.
He's lucky I'm not a millennial because then he'd be fat shaming me. Everyone, he's fat shaming me. Yeah. I feel bad about my body, so I can't blame myself. I have to blame Sammy.
Yeah, at least I like your generation for that much. At least you're not a bunch of bitches.
Yeah, well. I hope to see you again one day. Thank you for calling me fat on my show. Appreciate it.
You work for Impact Wrestling. I'm pretty sure I'll see you there sometime soon.
You're welcome for the booking.
Oh, thank you, old dreamer.
Sammy, congratulations again. Thanks so much for the time this morning. And appreciate it. And can't wait to watch you every single Tuesday on Access TV.
I hope you have a delicious lunch today. When you bite into it, there's a giant piece of glass.
Wow, that's very nice. And I can't wait to see you in the ring with Tessa Blanchard. Sammy Callahan, everybody.
Living the dream.
Your Impact World Heavyweight Champion.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
The nation has heard a lot of LaGreca rants, but I think for the very first time, no, actually, this would be the second time. There's been a few. It's now time for the Tommy Dreamer rant. Go ahead, Tommy. Floor is yours once again.
There has been a recent trend in World Wrestling Entertainment for doing things for the fact of just doing them, which to me is a scary trend. Because it affects us. And now I said wrestling is a marriage, it's a relationship, and a big thing that I keep seeing, and it's really starting to anger me. It starts to anger me at my core as a wrestling fan and as a core as someone behind the scenes with psychology. Here we go. I will tell you from personal experience, every time I step on an airplane, when I have to go somewhere, there's a deciding moment in my life where I say I'm not doing this anymore. I can't deal with the pain every time I got on the plane. It happened to me yesterday when I'm flying home on just an hour flight from Toronto to LaGuardia. My knee was hurting me so bad, I said, why am I doing this? I don't need the money. I don't want to do this anymore. I hate it. I hate wrestling. I hate everything about it. I turn heel on myself and the person next to me but there's a decisive moment where I was just like, I can't do this anymore the way I've been doing this. I need to, why am I not on a jet? Why am I not in first class? And I get so angry. By the time I land, once I land and I start getting up, I'm walking, I turn back babyface. But there's a decisive moment in my life why I turn, because things in my life are not going well. Boom. Heel turns. It has started with
Bailey.
Thank you. I'm getting very emotional here.
I do. I could see it in your face.
Bailey turned heel. Why? She was already the champion. She is at the top of her game. What is her deciding moment that I have to turn heel? She has to do that when? Because it's her friend. She's backing her friend. That's cool to back your friend. You could still be the hugger and have a weird relationship, a conflicted relationship, because people, hey, we have conflicted relationships. People like, hey, I know this couple and I'm friends with the husband and wife, but I also know that the husband cheats on the wife. Hey, that's a conflict right there. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to stick by these two people as my friends up until the wife finds out. Then you got to choose your sides. For Bailey, there was no defining moment where, what did she lose? She's on top of the world. Why did she have to change? There was no reason. Done. Now, a couple weeks later, Finn Balor shows up on probably the biggest star in NXT. Yes, he shows up to try to go up against AEW. Yes, that's going to be shocking news. He doesn't have one match. Boom, he turns heel. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Now, last night, Paige and the
Asuka, the Kabuki Warriors.
The
Asuka,
Kabuki Warriors. Carson. What are they right now?
Tag team champions.
Top of the world. And then what do they do for no reason? A girl supported them. Girl goes on back, been saying everything nice about them. She spits in their eye. The follow-up of the brutal, sell by this blinding green mist. And green mist is blinding. It's not like the black one, which is acid. And it's like, oh, there's something in my eye. I need water. But she turned. Why did they turn on them? If you're turning on people just for the sake of ratings, you are insulting the wrestling fans. Because psychology-wise, there is no moment in your life that your life is the worst. Everything is going good for you. There is no reason to. You know why Rob Van Dam turned heel at Bound for Glory? Because Rob's living the life, and then Rob saw people doing his moves, and then Rob Van Dam was like, "Why? Why am I doing this?" Rob Van Dam has a wife and a girlfriend, and he posts on social media, and people say they hate him. Why should they hate him? He's living the life. He stole my gimmick. I hate him now. So don't insult our intelligence and try to keep on turning heels to babyface or babyface to heels for the sake of ratings or the sake of, whoa, shock value, because it loses its shock value. And if you continue to do that, people will continue to change the channel, and your ratings will continue to drop. And I will continue to get mad. And I won't care. And I care just like every other wrestling fan. So, think of that when you're doing psychology. Lacey Evans, she did a great little thing where she was going to take the count out. And then she went in and just punched the girl. Phenomenal. It got a reaction, is what we wanted. Why are you going to waste that on a person who's not even signed for the company? Why not sucker punch? Let's say a natty, and then we could, hey, let's settle this up at the Saudi show.
Yep.
Little things like that is why, as wrestling fans, it really, really bothers us. Because we care so much, and or else you're just going to make us not care, and then we will get asked for a divorce. And now we have options. As wrestling fans, we have options for Tuesdays. We have options for Wednesdays. So there's my rant. There has to be some sort of psychology. Okay. Why?
Because that's the only way you can get emotionally invested in and understand why they're doing it.
Did you see the last Halloween movie? It was phenomenal. Did you?
No, I did not.
Okay. If you saw the Joker's movie, there was a specific moment in that time where you felt bad for the Joker, and then you realized, wow, but he took it to being a heel, and wow, his life situations made him so messed up where he went and killed people. That's messed up. So, there's my rant. I don't scream. I talk with authority and
no,
I talk with knowledge.
No, you were
knowledge.
Getting a little upset. Guys,
well,
so your
yes.
face getting a little red there.
And if they continue, like, there was no reason really for Finn Balor to turn heel except for, wow, maybe people will watch it. If you keep on doing that, you'll lose faith in the characters, you'll lose faith in the product.
That was probably a little bit of a move by the WWE to getting beat
probably?
That was a move by the WWE because they were getting beat in the ratings to AEW. They needed to do something that was going to get people talking, and that's exactly what they did because the next day we were talking about the Finn Balor heel turn.
Kabuki Warriors turning heel on Paige. And then guess what? They lose. So right then and there, negated your turn. At least win, and then when you win, this new attitude makes you win a title. Please, come on now. Stop insulting our intelligence.
I like it. Well, speaking of the Kabuki Warriors, Tommy, that's exactly what David in Atlanta wants to talk about. David, what did you want to say about the Kabuki Warriors?
Tommy, Dave, I know you can't see me, but I'm standing up giving an ovation for that.
Wow.
Thank you.
Tommy, you just said what I've been screaming about every single time I've called in the last few weeks because, let me put it in perspective. Let's say they handed these girls a script on Monday night and said, okay, Paige, you're going to hype up these girls. Asuka's going to turn on you. They're going to spray you in the face. You're going to run off stage. You're going to wipe your eyes. They're going to be laughing at you. After about a minute, Becky's music's going to hit. She's going to come down and get in the ring with Kyrie. They're going to have a match. Tweak two things, and you've got a completely different angle. Becky and Paige were in PCV together. As far as we know, they're still very good friends. The moment that mist hits Paige in the face, we should have heard Becky's music right then. She should have hit the ring, and she shouldn't have gone after Kyrie. She should have gone after Asuka. And she and Asuka should have been tussling. Kyrie pulls her off. Becky throws her in the ring. Okay, ref, now ring the bell. And she can end up beating both of them. That gets Becky over. That makes Asuka more of a heel. It gives sympathy to Paige because we don't know how much pain she's in. And the Kabuki Warriors are more healers. Becky is the savior and even a bigger over person. Change two things, completely different story. They just do it for the sake of doing it because it's just clockwork. I don't understand it.
Boom. Better booked angle by a Nation member.
Not bad.
Great.
And thanks for the phone call, David.
But you want to go real? Have them just say, hey, where do people turn heel in real life? Hey, this person who's going to go make more money, they've hired a different agent. Thank you, Paige. You are fired for managing the Kabuki Warriors. We don't need you anymore. We got to where we're on top. Oh, she walks away dejected. Here comes Becky.
And there's obviously a story between Becky and Asuka because Asuka made Becky tap at the Royal Rumble last year.
But then you lose. What? You lose. If you're supposed to turn, it's supposed to be a new you. Tommy Dreamer turns heel. Trust me, I'm going to win every match. I'm going to book it that way too because I'm crazy. And I have to do whatever it takes to win now because I have a new attitude. Because you know what? Hey, I'm 30. I keep losing. These young guys keep calling me fat. I'm angry. I'm going to be angry. And I'm going to take it out on you, and I'm going to take it out on you fans. Done.
They would never have Becky lose to Kairi Sane or Asuka on TV. They just wouldn't do it.
Well, if you're going to do a heel turn, or if you're all, I mean, again, and I don't know Paige's physical state where if she could take a bump or, but you're going to get blinded by getting spit in your eyes with green mist, and mist is acid bile that comes up from your stomach. It's kung fu, or Gary Hart would say gung fu. He explained it. It's very, very simple with Great Kabuki. And when you twist your intestines, when it's red, you know why? Because there's blood in there. You're vomiting blood. You've done that.
Yes, I have.
And when it's black, that's cancer blowing it in your mouth.
Yeah, thank God I'm not black.
So, I mean, that stuff made sense. Blue is, I don't know, but we'll have to work on that.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
I am super excited. Bugsy McGraw was the man. He was the tag team partner of the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. The night I was decided that I wanted to become a professional wrestler, he was his partner. Him and Dusty versus Ivan Koloff and Dick Murdoch.
Well,
Hollywood Sportatorium, Hollywood, Florida.
I love it. And the name of the book is called Brute Power, the autobiography of Bugsy McGraw. Tommy, you and I both read it. We loved it. Forward by Rocky Johnson, who was a guest on this segment just a couple of weeks ago. And let's bring him in. He's a legend, Bugsy McGraw. Bugsy, how are you today?
Well, praise God, I'm alive and well. How are you?
We're excited, man. Tommy, Bugsy McGraw, live on the air here on Busted Open.
Bugsy.
Oh, well, testify, signify, verify, do not lie. Yeah.
Nice. Before he came on the air, he was doing the curly shuffle. He's doing all your mannerisms. He's blowing his own little comeback here. He's a marquee nerd, but we love him.
A marquee nerd. I don't know if I heard that term before.
Well, it's a new era. We could expose the business a little
bit. I'll take it as a positive thing, don't you know? Yeah.
Bugsy McGraw is always positive. So, Bugsy, a lot to get into here. We really appreciate the time. What made you decide to write the book?
For some time I always wanted to write a book, but I could see, that I might need some help, and then I was approached, by a man that, had some contacts, and he asked me, if I had an interest in writing a book. I said, yeah, and then one thing led to something else, and then, I was in contact with some writers, and we decided to do it.
Well, I'm glad that you did, because it uncovers your entire career, your life as well, and even since you've been wrestling, and I know that you're a man of God, and you explain that here in the book as well. I mean, it's just cover to cover. It's a fantastic read. Again, it's Brute Power, the autobiography of Bugsy McGraw. And I think the one thing that's great about your career, Bugsy, is that if you talk to myself or if you talk to a Tommy Dreamer or you speak to any fan that's listening right now, they probably have a favorite memory of your career, and it would be completely different than everybody else because you did so much. And it sounds like you wrestled everywhere during your career.
I went a lot of places, because I was like I was independent, my persona, I was independent. I'm not the someone that, I won't kiss your ass, in other words. So,
I learned that in your book. I learned that quickly in your book, and I loved it.
In my early career and then later on too, I was always, I wanted to improve all the time. In other words, I wanted to be a draw. You know what I mean? I wanted to draw money. No matter what position I was in, if I was working heel or, heel as a baby face.
Bugsy, I was most impressed when you said you wanted to get into wrestling. You didn't know how to get into it because the business was so much different as it is today. But your workout and how much your bench routine and when you were like benching 500 for reps and just that, I was blown away. And I met you for the first time last year at WrestleCade, and I was like, wow, he's such a big man. But like when you're talking about you're 6'4", 300 plus pounds, how could you not be a professional wrestler? But I mean, can you tell us something about like your workout routine? Because I was blown away from reading in the book.
Well, there was like, I don't know if it's in the book or not, but I believe it is. When I wanted to, working out became like a compensation. When I went to college, my freshman year, I was 6'2", 175. When I graduated from college, I was 6'4", and 310.
Wow.
And that was what I say when I say that was a compensation. Is the fact that, most of my life I grew up, when I grew up, I had, a speech impediment. And so I wanted to compensate for that. See what I mean? So, I thought to compensate that was to get large, big, and strong. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what I did. Yeah. And, so I just for, you know, all the time. For instance, all the time I was in college, I was always adding on weight. I was always working out. I wanted to get more and more and more, you know, larger, and then lift more weight. And where I had and where I excelled the most was in the bench press. So I, my actual lifts there were, I got up to 540 pounds, two reps, 525, three reps. I went to roughly 505 for five reps, I believe. I went to 405 for 10 reps. I went to 315. Yeah, for 35 reps. I went to 225 for 75 reps.
Wow. Yeah.
That 315 for 25 and that 225 for 75 blew me away. You started kind of with the Sheik. What would you say your favorite territory was that you worked?
Well, I probably beat two of them because New York and Florida. Yeah, they, you know, I enjoyed it there, you know.
And two completely different personas, one being a heel up in WWF and being a babyface down in Florida for, I mean, that's where I remember first time I saw you. But, I mean, I know you worked heel down there, too. But.
Yeah, I got over as a heel because I was, you know, they let, I could outthink other people. It wasn't that hard to do, and usually in the ring, too. You know, you can outthink them because a lot of guys, you know, you see, like, I used to get so pissed off at guys, you know, and I would tell them, too, you know, the face as a heel, you know, they take heat on the baby face, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They take the heat on the baby face and just beat him up, beat him up, beat him up, beat him up, beat him up. Well, then, boom, he starts the comeback. And I watched it time after time after time, and I timed it. I also timed it. This is no joke. Time after time after time. The comeback after you had the babyface sell for 15 to 20 minutes would be about maybe 1 minute. 1 minute, and I thought, this is insane. He's been selling for 20 minutes, and he gets a 1 minute comeback. So you know what I did? I mean, it's like you learn the ability to think is priceless. So I'd go in that ring and I'd take that heat. I just beat the living crap out of them. And then they start that comeback, right? And I would feed them. And I would feed them for like 10 minutes. I wasn't afraid to sell. I knew how to do it. When you're going around the ring, you're going up and down, over the ropes, taking bumps, all this stuff. You don't look, see, that's the problem with a lot of your heels at that time. They were afraid they would look weak and all of that. Then, no, you look strong. You're getting your ass kicked over and over and over and over and over, but still you're getting up, up, up and up and up, and you keep coming. You look like a, you know, like, man, he's a badass. You know, so for instance, I mean, there was just, you know, I know for a fact in New York, I mean, an actual fact, that a lot of the guys always wanted to work with me because they knew that if they sold me, they would have one heck of a comeback. Yeah.
You know, Bugsy, you talk about New York and wrestling for the WWWF at that time. Was there any thoughts of going back there in the mid-80s? Because it seemed like your personality and your persona would have fit perfect for what they were doing at that time.
Yeah, I did, and then it got cut short. It got cut off. There's some, you know, I don't know exactly all the things that happened, but
probably some BS politics, as it usually does.
Yeah, you're right. There you go. See, I think there was some behind the scenes, you know, things that were said, but you know, I got along with the older Vince. Well, I mean, we didn't have a lot of conversations and all that, but a few. And I know what happened. One time, he wanted me to come back one time, and I said, "Well, I want a program in the garden." He said, "You can have a program everywhere else. You know, all the other towns, you can have a program." And I said, "No." And that was my fault.
Oh, so you wanted to go right to the main event at Madison Square Garden.
It's the biggest payday.
What's that?
I said, yeah, it's the biggest payday.
Yeah, you know, so he didn't want to let me have a program in the garden. And the other thing, too, was when I was there, I believe it's in the book, when Bruno Sammartino went out of his way to help me. You know, and because when I wrestled him in the garden, you know, we had a terrific match. I just went to him and I said to him, "Listen, trust me. You trust me, we'll have one hell of a match. We'll have the best match you've ever had." So he trusted me. We tore the place down. It was something. And then after that, you know, I don't know how many weeks after that, he came to me and said, "You know what?" He said, "You need to get out of here." He said, "You have
talent.
And he said, "I'm going to send you to Charlotte." And I looked at him and went, "Okay. Sounds good to me." And so then he went to Vince Senior, and he told Vince the Senior that I'm sending McGraw to Charlotte. And Vince the Senior went, "Oh no, you can't, no, we don't want to let him go. No, we want to keep him. No." And then Bruno, he was always wise, you know. He knew the whole situation. So he told Vince, he said, "If you want to keep him, then you make him money." Okay. And you know, like back then, you know, they didn't have a lot of contracts and stuff like that, but they kind of, you know, they try to figure out what you'll take and how much money was had, you know, you'll be happy with. Well, after Bruno went to Vince and told him, he said, "If I don't send him to Charlotte, you make him some money." The very next week, my paycheck increased by $500 a week.
Wow.
And I stayed there all the time I was there.
A lot of the boys have said that about Bruno, where, you know, if he saw so much of an injustice, he would want that rectified, and he had that stroke in power, and he would help a lot of the talent. And Sheik did that too for you as well. He saw potential in you, and Sheik said, "Hey, you got to go work somewhere else." In today's environment, I feel wrestlers get stale, and that's what is big cause of, like, fans not caring about talent, because they stay there too long. And that was what was ingrained with your generation of move on so you stay fresh. And you always saw that, I guess, in yourself as well, when you knew when to get out. As well as I always felt that you were the talent when you came in because of your talent. You weren't going to be this main push guy, but you always got over in every territory. Like, you were like Jimmy Valiant's friend, but then all of a sudden the people are going nuts for you, or you're in world class and they're cheering for you as much as they're cheering for the Von Erichs.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like, see, that's, you know, that's the same sort of thing that I talked about before with you here on the phone.
Right.
You can go in there, like I used to tell these other wrestlers, and I don't think they understood it, actually, you know, or maybe a few of them did, I don't know. But I would say to them, you know what I want to do? When I'm in the ring, I want to make such an impression on the people that while I want them to talk about me, but I want them to talk about me when they're driving home, on the way home in the car. That's when you know you got them. See? And I knew that. So, you know, you can lose all the time and you can, you know, whatever. But, you know, there's ways to make people remember you. In other words, there's two things that you got to do. As a heel, because in New York, as a heel, for instance, you got to be vicious. If you know how to be vicious and honestly, back then and today, it's very, 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 and I say again, very rare to see a vicious heel. I mean, a really vicious heel where you make people believe you're going to hurt somebody. But the other thing is, you got to be exciting, you know? You got to be exciting. You got to be unusual. You know, like, for instance, you know, it's like I go into the ring, you know, and, you know, how you start the match, ring the bell. But before that time, I would be walking back and forth between the ropes. Back and forth, back and forth. Then they'd ring the bell, and they keep on walking back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, people have never seen that before. You know what I mean? They think, well, you know, he might be crazy. And see, that's the other thing I learned, too. You know, working as a heel, it helps if people think you're crazy, because then they won't attack you.
I thought you were nuts. Just for that reason alone, that you would be pacing back and forth, the bell would ring and you continue pacing back and forth.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. And then I would jump out of the ring, like, you know, when the baby face, they're making that comeback and I'm taking bumps. Boom, I go over the top or through the ropes, and I'd act like I'm so pissed off, right? I'll start, and then I'd throw in punches in the air, and then I would punch the, what's that thing? You know, the post.
That's a turnbuckle.
No. The ring post.
Okay.
No. I'm on the outside of the ring. You know, I'm on the floor, and I would punch that, of that iron post. And of course, you know, it's supposed to hurt, and I would sell the hell out of it. And, you know, you never saw that with anybody else. It was, you know, or I would kick it, right? And then I would hold my foot because it hurt.
You know? Bugsy,
all kinds of stuff you can do. You go out there and, you know, you go by and, you know, you could do stuff like you're walking outside of the ring and you see somebody with, you know, some popcorn, and you stop and you look at them and you look at them, and then you go, popcorn. And maybe, you know, they'd be halfway afraid they'd hand you the popcorn. You start eating it. You know, there's all kinds of stuff you could do. You make it exciting. You say, the other thing is, you separate yourself from the herd.
Making yourself stand out. That's what this business is about. Do you watch the current product of wrestling?
No, not really. I happen to see it. Now, here's the truth. You know, no, you know, I got the cable here, you know, and if I'm flipping through the cable and then I see some wrestling, I might watch, you know, for a few minutes. But I noticed the other night I was watching, I go, man, no, this is boring. I just keep on going, you know. I mean, I don't stop. I've never watched the full of the program yet. See, the other thing I used to tell these younger guys too, or not necessarily just younger guys, I said, listen, you got to learn something. When you get in that ring, I don't care where you are. You can be in a huge arena. You can be at the Garden. You can be in a spot show town. You can be anywhere. But once you get in that ring, you and the fans become one. You become one. I don't care if you go to the Garden, you got over 20,000 people yelling and screaming at you. They become one, and you're in the ring, and you become one. It's one-on-one. And I've said it all the time. Never, ever, ever, ever let that crowd control you. Never.
Mm.
You control that crowd. You didn't pay to see them. They paid to see you. See?
That's really strong words. Again, the name of the book is Brute Power, the autobiography of Bugsy McGraw. And I used to love it too when Bugsy Wick, in the middle of the match, he would just like start pounding his head against the top turnbuckle. I used to love that too. Bugsy, it's been an absolute pleasure. I hope you all the success with the book, and we'd love to get you on another time.
Let's do it again, young man.
All right, Bugsy
McGraw.
Thank
you, Bugsy. Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.